So many of you have heard that call over the years from the 1981 March Madness matchup between Arkansas and Louisville. U.S. Reed, who joins us now on the phone lines. U.S., good morning. I really appreciate Ben Creighton down there in Little Rock getting me within contact with you. And thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us this morning on the Morning Rush.
Man, thanks for inviting you, man. It's crazy to say it really is March Madness.
Yeah. You're right about that.
Exactly right. So obviously I want you to go into kind of what was going through your mind with the shot. But last February when Scott Atkinson brought back that ball at the Bud Walton Arena and Hunter Yurcheck gave it to you and just getting that back 38 years later, what was that like for you?
Yeah, that was an exciting time. It brought back a lot of great memories. You know, it was kind of crazy because all these years, you're thinking, hey, you've been bragging on the ball on the shelf, and it wasn't really the ball. So when I found out that Scott had that ball, and I remember Scott being one of the cheerleaders during that time, and I didn't realize until I saw the actual replay of the tape that he grabbed that ball. So I'm just glad he brought it back, and it was a lot of fun and memories for me and my family and for the fans.
Who told you that the one you had was the ball? Did someone else give it to you? Like, I was curious to the backstory of that.
Well, somebody, I don't remember exactly who, brought a ball in the dressing room and said, man, hey, here's the ball. And I guess they thought, you know, they probably were sincere about giving me the ball and thought that was the ball that went through the hoop. And, you know, through all that pandemonium, you don't stop to say, are you sure? You know, you sure this is, you just obviously think that this is the ball, and you take it home and you put it on the shelf, and you know, we had the nets cut down, and you cut the nets down, and I had the nets, you know, kind of like drooped over the ball on my shelf.
Talk about how sweet it was to do that in Austin, Texas. You know, because a lot of people look at that. If you don't know, you might think you're playing Texas, but it was Louisville. It was the NCAA tournament. It was a day and time when the NCAA didn't bring special floors in. To have that in a place that was such a place of rivalry for Arkansas, what was the emotion in the afterwash to do it in a place that you love to go win?
Well, for people that don't know, Arkansas and Texas has been a rivalry even since I was a child, and you know, we were really, and that's one of the reasons Arkansas and Frank Broyles, I think just a small reason why we elected to lead the Southwest Conference during that time, because every time we would play throughout the conference, you know, we were the only one outside the conference. We were hated, and you know, like in the SEC, when one team is playing in the SEC, representing the SEC, you know, we all cheer for the SEC. But it wasn't like that in the Southwest Conference. We were playing in that tournament, and it was played down in Austin. Every game we played during that tournament, the Texas fans would cheer against us when we were representing the conference. And so when we were playing Louisville, and at that time, Louisville was ranked number one in the country. And, man, every time we'd score or do something, the Texas fans would really, you know, cheer against us. They would boo us. And so we really felt like, even though we were playing in one of our conference rivalries, gymnasium, we felt we were playing an away game. When we should have been playing, we should have had the crowd behind us, like a home court advantage. But really, we were like, playing against the crowd and almost like the referees, and it was really a tough game for us, but it gave us something to play for. But it was really sweet winning down there. And one of the things that happened when we won that game, of course, we all know about Eddie Sutton coaching during that time, and Texas coach was Abe Lemon, which was he was kind of like a big man in the conference, smoking a big cigar and always bragging. And the fans, Arkansas fans, they really enjoyed getting on him. And after we won that game, Abe Lemon actually came into the dressing room with a hog hat on. It was crazy.
U.S., this is Clay Henry.
Hey, Clay.
What a great memory. And I'm there. All the pictures that that, you know, are that show you kind of dancing and celebrating afterwards. In the background, you can see Media Row, and I always like to pick out my picture. It's the only time I'm ever in the media guide. But what was really incredible is you made the shot, and there was a throng around you, but you broke out of the throng pretty quickly, and they just danced, the cheerleaders and, you know, everybody. But you got away from them. Do you remember what you did?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been in those situations before at Arkansas when we won games, and people have piled on me. And I said, if I'm ever in that situation again, I said, I'm not going to be at the bottom of the pile. So when the shot went in, I immediately, and you know, I ran the press row, and I was so happy. I started shaking everybody's hands.
You shook my hand.
Yeah, your hand, Wally Hall's hand. Everybody
you shot
press
my dad's hand, Orville Henry's hand. You just went right down the row.
Yeah. And then I thought about it. Then it hit my mind, you better get out of here. So I just ran around the court, celebrated, and I watched them in the middle of the court. And everybody thought I was at the bottom of the pile, but which I wasn't. And I just ran to the dressing room.
Yeah. You bring up Coach Sutton, and we've had Joe Klein join us before on the show. Talk about playing for Coach Sutton and what those practices could be like.
Oh, wow. Playing for Coach Sutton, it was like walking into a big corporation, and you have all these guys in business suits, and you're playing for a big CEO. I mean, we would come down and practice, and he had each assistant coach over a certain station. You know, he had the guards over here, the forwards over there, the center, the fours and the fives over here, and everybody would be going over individual assignments and skill sets and how to pass, how to post up, how to rebound, and it was and practice would be going on, and he wouldn't even be there really. He'd come down late, and he'd walk around, and he'd observe each station, and you know, as a freshman, you'd be kind of nervous and go, wow, this guy, you know, he let those assistant coaches do their jobs, and he had the best assistants in the country. That's why most of those assistants turned out to be head coaches, because they were really good at skill training and getting everybody ready to play the game.
We're talking with U.S. Reed here on the Morning Rush. U.S., at the moment before when you guys were down, Coach Sutton said, we're still going to win this game. When he said, you're getting the ball, U.S., and I remember you saying in an interview last year, it's like, Darryl Walker, I don't know if I have confidence in this, and you're trying to get the ball, and then the shot ends up going in. What's going through your mind when Coach Sutton says, you're getting the final shot?
Well, what's going through your mind, you know, it's like, oh, boy, either people are going to love me or they're going to hate me if I mess up, because I had to get the ball all the way down court. I mean, we got the ball on the other end of the court, so he's like, okay, Darryl, you know, give him the ball, and you get as close as you can to the basket, and if you don't have a shot, you get it to either Scott Hastings down low or somebody, and it's not but a few seconds left in the game. I'm like, what? But he always instilled in the team that no matter what the situation was, that we're going to win this game. And you really believe that. So the funny thing is when Darryl took that ball out, he was kind of like flipped it to me like, oh, you know, I don't know about this. Like you said, and the thing about it, when I turned around, Denny Crum, who was the coach of Louisville, had a full court press on. I'm like, oh, boy. So I'm turning around to a full court press. How am I going to get the ball down court? But the funny thing about that, and I've told the story before, I was practicing long shots in pregame just in case I had to shoot a long shot. But, you know, of course it wasn't that far out. But I knew I had to at least push the ball and kind of do a push and, you know, a regular shot, kind of mix it in together. And so they called it a prayer shot. Really, it really was a blessing from God to help me to hit that shot that far out before you get to half court.
You asked you mentioned the press. They had two 6'8 guys at midcourt, and they just kind of put their hands up and just turned and kind of gave you a little window, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they really didn't believe I could really get the ball all the way down court in those few seconds, which they were really kind of right. That's why I had to shoot it from half court, but they really should have had more pressure on the ball and a trap or something to not even let me get that ball off. 'Cause as you know, in March Madness, anything can happen.
U.S. Reed with us here on the Morning Rush, one of the most memorable shots in college basketball history and certainly in Razorback history, as in 1981 in the second round of the tournament hit the shot against Louisville down in Austin, Texas. U.S., as you watch games today versus the style and the more physical brand of basketball in your day, what's your opinion on the state of the game today? It's less physical. The rules have changed where teams have to back off defensively more. What's your opinion on the state of the game and the style of play in today's basketball at the college level?
Well, the style of basketball today is really how we played on the sandlot before we got into college, into high schools that had a system really in place of using more of your fundamentals and far as passing and posting up and that kind of thing. But it's really how we played on the street. I mean, it just bled over into the sport for more entertainment value for the fans. But I think even though doing that, I think one of the things, and I like what Kobe Bryant talked about. I heard him talking about some years back about how the game has lost its fundamentals because of the AAU basketball. I think AAU basketball has really done an injustice to some of the kids as far as their skill set. You could see it on the court how it's like their IQs have dropped. And he was right in that. And the European players sound like they concentrated more on shooting instead of dunking and all this and more of a better skill set. So I think it's got its pros and its cons.
U.S., I've got to ask you and take you back 2 years prior, because you guys should have gone to the Final Four in 79. And y'all played Larry Bird and Indiana State and Cincinnati and had fought back. Sidney covered Larry Bird, and y'all came back and tied the game and had the ball for the last shot. And you tell us what happened, U.S.
Well, to be honest with you, we should have gone to the Final Four two years in a row. And really, I think we should have won the national championship my freshman year. I think Coach Sutton, even though he did a great job, I think he was some miscalculations, and it's really important that you recognize the talent you have on that bench. And I think he had some players that he should have played during those games at certain times that it would have made it a lot easier for us. But for instance, you're referring to the we played against Indiana State when they had Larry Bird. We started out with Alan Zahn, who's 6'7", athletic forward, on Larry Bird, and he couldn't do anything with Larry Bird. Matter of fact, Larry Bird was so hot, he came over to our bench and said, "You better put somebody else on me. I'm gonna get 50 points on you."
And he would.
You know, Larry Bird. You know, Larry Bird could really talk trash. You know, but he could back it up. And Coach Sutton was like, "Okay, I'm gonna put Sidney on you." In the second half, and Sidney just shut him down. I think if he had had Sidney on him that whole game, I don't think it would have been close. Because, you know, at the end of the game, when you have a team like that with just one great player and a couple of good players, and you could really get in trouble, like, at a last-second shot, like they did, and go on to play Magic Johnson in Michigan State, which they hate in Michigan, which they hate they did that because they really got embarrassed. we would have been a better matchup.
Right. Yeah, but the play that I was thinking about was you with the ball. They tripped you. They fouled and tripped you.
I had the ball. I had the ball, and I was dribbling across court. And Carl Nix, and I've seen Carl Nix. I saw Carl Nix right after that, at one of the camps. And I said, "Man, you tripped me." He said, "Yeah, I did."
So they call that a foul now. Yeah.
Yeah, he stuck his foot out. I mean, literally tripped me. But the crazy part about it, you know, when he tripped me, the ball the ball left my hand and it started going across court. And I just went over and picked it up and didn't move. And they called traveling. So it was like two bad calls.
No question.
And we were shocked. I mean, we were really in shock. We were like, really? You know, so it's just one of those things that happens in sports.
Yeah, and on top of that, U.S., the next foul that was called on you that fouled out of the game, you hit the ball, and then they called a foul on you as well. I have, trust me, as a young guy, you would think that I wouldn't be so passionate about you guys virtually getting screwed out of that game, but trust me, I am. You mentioned Larry Bird. Of the guys you competed against in college, where does he rank on that list?
Oh, he's got to be, you know, one of the top two. We played against some great players. Back in those days, I mean, but he's got to be one of the top two. I remember holding, you know, back in the day, Cypress Conference had some great players back then. People don't remember. I remember as a freshman, we played against Baylor, and they had a guy so good on that team that Coach Sutton didn't even want Brewer or Moncrief for anybody to even hold it because they would get tired, and he would get 50 points on you easy. His name was Vinny Johnson.
Yep.
The microwave.
And they call him the microwave. And I'm telling you, you talk about a guy that his arms would drag the floor. He could dribble the ball any kind of way he wanted and go anywhere he wants and shoot from anywhere. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he was a top player, but Larry Bird was one of the top, and so we had people like Vinny Johnson. We had people like over at Houston has some great players. I mean, you talk about being on the floor with one of the top 50 players in basketball. Period. It was Clyde Drexler, and then they had a guy at guard the year before named Rob Williams. I go on and on. I mean, it's been some great players that we played against through the years.
Yeah, Phi Slamma Jamma, and then you think about like Vinny Johnson, and it wasn't often U.S. in the NBA when Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas wouldn't get hot, but when they brought him off the bench, he gave them points in a flurry. U.S., as we close down this interview, I know that you and Ben, you guys do the UALR games for ESPN Plus down in Little Rock. What else are you doing right now, man?
Well, I did that last year with Ben. We had a great with Little Rock, and we had a great time. I didn't do it this year, and kudos to Darrell Walker and his team for doing a great job this year. But I am currently with the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. I'm in the development and advancement. This is another term for corporate fundraising. And so I'm enjoying doing that, still involved in helping kids and at the college level, and hope I can continue to do this for a few more years.
U.S., we really appreciate you joining this morning. This is one of the best interviews we've had in quite some time, and I'm really glad that Clay brought up the Indiana State story, and I'm glad that you were truthful about your feelings concerning that game.
Well, hey, I'm glad you guys called me, and to tell everybody this what's going on right now, this too shall pass. Take care of your family, trust in God, and as always, we'll pick.
All right, let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys.